Let's start with you, Dan. You know, we don't really know. You know, we read about you online a lot. You have shared some very candid insight on blogs and different postings. But I'll just tell you how you are viewed in general by online UFO folks is that we are not quite sure. People are not quite sure whether you are part of a sort of a controlled release of UFO information, whether you are a disinformation agent, whether you are a conduit for true and accurate UFO information, or all of the above. Can you sort of help us understand who you are and where you fit?
Okay. Yeah, those are good questions, George. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't have a direct conduit to the truth, but I try to, you know, try to be truthful and accurate, and I've reported all of my interactions, virtually all of my interactions with Ron, over the years for the past 20 years. And one thing you stated in the introduction that isn't quite accurate is that the aviary are former intelligence officers, because Ron, as far as we know, is still an intelligence officer, still directly employed by the U.S. government, and he's the only one in the aviary who is still so employed. And so this makes him a crucial player in the whole cover-up disclosure game.
Absolutely. Now let's back up. Ron is Ron Pandolfi. Tell our audience who Ron Pandolfi is.
Well, as I say, I met him back in 1991, and in about I was directed there by a local ufologist, given his phone number, and by someone, a scientist out at NASA Ames. And within our second conversation, he said he was going to Los Alamos to talk to the aliens. Now, I figured that he was pulling my leg, and I believe that, still believe that he was. So I blasted back at him, not on the phone, but on the what was then the CompuServe UFO bulletin board, and a message to the effect that he didn't need to talk to the aliens, that if he wanted to know the truth, he could just talk to me. and that's sort of how it started 20 years ago.
And over the course of the next 20 years, your relationship grows closer, you become friends, and he shares with you a lot of what is going on in his world. I'm just wondering, does he cross the line in telling you some of this stuff?
Well, yes. I think if you ask the FBI, I think they might agree that he has gone kind of far in some of his interactions with me, but he does have, as Gary can confirm, and I've also found out, that he has special permission from the FBI to collect information from U.S. citizens, you know, on this soil. And that is a special deal that has to be approved, I believe, in individual cases.
So you would be sort of a correspondent for him to tell him how stories are unfolding, how things are playing in the UFO community?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, I'm not, Bill Moore, you know, a predecessor of mine, was being
an operative
as a spy and disinformation agent, but now we have the internet, and I really don't know anything. I know very little that's not out there already on the internet. But what he told me one time is that, you know, Dan, we have a great deal of difficulty tracking this phenomenon, and our instruments, you know, don't really suffice. So instead of tracking the phenomenon, we track the people who are involved with the phenomenon, and that is, you know, one way he may look at me. But although I am only a very minimal experiencer, And nonetheless, I've had a couple of crucial experiences that may have been one reason why he's been interested in me.
And we will get into those. Gary Beckham, is Dan Smith being a little modest here about his stature in the community? I mean, you've written extensively about the government having a legitimate ongoing interest in the UFO phenomenon itself, but also in how stories spread within the UFO community, just as an intelligence exercise, right?
Well, you know, I think, George, there's a lot of evidence that at least some of the players in the game are using the UFO stories for whatever purpose, to, you know, collect information or to spread disinformation or just to play around. And we don't really know, you know, where those lines are drawn exactly. But I think there's, you can make a pretty good argument for the fact that there's, as you mentioned, past and, as Dan mentioned, present intelligence people on the Internet, and they're using it for various purposes.
Where does Dan fit into this? I mean, this is a guy with a really interesting background, and I don't mean to speak to you in the third person there, Dan. Pardon me for a moment, but Gary, help me understand, you know, how he is viewed. I mean, a blue blood, a great credentials, a good education, knows all the best people, travels in really interesting circles. You could say that, as I mentioned in the introduction, maybe he's being used as a disinformation agent, as a spy, or a conduit of information about the UFO community. How do you peg him?
Well, I think a little bit of all of that. I mean, Dan has been, as you mentioned, he's been around for a long time, and he does know a lot of the key players in the game, what I call the spy games. And Dan can tell you, you know, that you know, he has the family background. He's been you know, with some fairly important people from time to time, and he spent some time with Ron Pandolfi visiting at the Senate Intelligence Community back in the 1990s. Maybe Dan could tell us a little bit more about that. I think that was kind of the beginning of a lot of this the spy side of this.
We will do that in a second. Help me, though, Gary, before we go back to Dan, help me understand how significant a character, a player in this whole field, Ron Pandolfi is, because that's not a name generally known to our coast-to-coast audience.
Well, if you go to my website, George, which is starpod.org, I've got a story about Ron up on the top of the page there. And included in the story, there are a number of links where you can kind of look up his background. But basically, Ron has a history of being with the CIA, affiliated with the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, and more recently with the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And he's been involved in everything from rocket technology being transferred to China, all the way to some pretty far-out stuff recently with gravity waves and things of that sort, also associated with Chinese scientists. So Ron is, at least the public part of what we can look up on Ron, we know that he has been involved in some fairly high-level investigations.
And he's been called the real-life Fox Mulder, right? The weird desk, the guy who gets the strange cases plopped on his desk in the morning?
Well, that's basically the story. I think the story is that there was another gentleman at CIA back in the 1980s named Kit Green, and I believe you know Kit.
I do.
And Kit, of course, was known as the keeper of the weird desk, I believe, for some time. But basically, all the weird stuff that the CIA was involved in, reports that they would receive on things like UFOs or unexplained paranormal phenomena, would kind of land in Kit's file desk. And then eventually Kit left the CIA, and Ron allegedly took over his position there as the keeper of the weird.